Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. It's your boy Dalu. I'm here today with Namdi. Namdi, how far now?
I do, you know.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. My club has told me Happy New Year this morning.
So how's your weekend been generally?
I mean, it's been good, man. Both my teams drew, but it's okay.
I guess we'll start from Premier League. After discussing the Premier League fixtures, I'll go on to AFCON. But today was a good day. I mean, like you, I've had a pretty good weekend. I can say that, actually, overall. Arsenal doing their thing. You know, me making the big step. I'm not going to talk about it, but the big step. And all my ops losing. Or drawing at least. Well, we can start from actually United game since you're here. I know you guys drew with Leeds, which didn't surprise me too much, given Leeds have had a pretty, not in terms of results, but they've been doing pretty well recently.
Yeah, like the last 6-7 games, they didn't lose in December.
They didn't lose at all.
They didn't lose at all in December.
Okay.
Yeah, bro. Okay.
So what do you think went wrong in the game?
To be honest, I would say two things. I would say Amorim got it wrong, I think. In the beginning. Think part of it might be ego driven as well. And I can understand where he's coming from. And it's not to downplay it. I can understand where he's coming from. You know, I feel like just watching the game, Sha, like they had chances, we had chances. So I think it was a fair result. I don't know who I would take. Man of the match probably, but it was also Amorim that brought him on, you know? Like sometimes people don't think maybe you can bench a player so that you can change your style later during the game. If things
are Man of the match was who?
For me, I think it was Xerxes.
Actually, who came on in the 63rd minute?
Yeah. As soon as he came on.
He's been playing decently, I would say. Why not start him, though?
That's the thing. I don't know. One thing I'll say is, like, I don't know. I think how... I think there are two things involved. I think, one, Amorim has become way more defensive-minded for another two reasons. One, that's where they've put the most money into the squad, at least in terms of number of players. And two, I think we lost so much last year that he's now on, let's not just lose. And let's just pick up points. But that's what you see about Man U. We lost a lot last season. But this season, at least, we have the losses here and there, but really we're just drawing games, last. Let us make it through with a point, you know. Which I saw as progression, and it was at Elland Road, it wasn't like it was at Old Trafford. So, I was okay with the draw, man. I don't know why people are just doing, you know, we could have won the game. Yes, we could have won the game, but we could also have lost the game.
I mean, doesn't that point to issues though? Because at the end of the day, Leeds is still a newly promoted side, especially except we are to concede the fact that maybe Man U have really become a mid-table team and maybe should get rid of those.
Is that what you're saying?
What did you say?
Is that what you're saying, that we should not concede that?
No, I'm saying that, I mean, the outrage makes sense if you're thinking based on like Man U, the size of the club, and you, and the fact you're playing against the newly promoted side, and just accepting a draw. But I kind of agree with you that,
bro, let's be realistic, bro. But how, forget all this second we've come. Whenever we came second, were we really, really, really second? Like, it was second by distance. We've not competed for the Premier League in a long ass time. We are big in number of how much money we bring in, number of fans. But as performance as a club, no, we've been poorly run for so long. Okay, now let me, sorry, let me see. Leeds' last loss was Man City 3-2. And City was at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they beat Chelsea 3-1. They drew Liverpool 3-3. They drew with Brentford 1-1. They beat Crystal Palace 4-1. They drew with Sunderland 1-1. They drew with Liverpool 0-0. Then they drew with us 1-1. See, football is form, bro. If you're on hot form like that, it doesn't mean. And the Premier League, look at the table. Look at how tight this table is, bro. This table is so ridiculous. I mean, not for people like you. You there above. Us, where we there here. Bro, the table is so
tight. Yeah, it's very, very tight. This is why it's difficult to really analyze performance. Because, I mean, if you look at him, Amorim Amani being sixth, it looks like it's not too bad. But if you think about the fact that a couple of results could send you way back down again.
Exactly, real quick. But that's what I'm saying. We've been at least drawing. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we were going to, as long as we avoid the losses, I mean, we'll still win here and there once in a while. And especially if we wait till our boys come back. Yeah, I think we'll still win. But, like, I think I like the way he started to have like a backup system that he would interchange. Because he was switching from that, his regular formation, to the other systems. So that's why I think he brought on Zegzi's second half. Because I think possibly ego driven, you know, because you are trying to make him to start just play a certain way than how he's playing. Which I don't think they should have done. I think come to a compromise and make it an option, and then he gets to use as much as he wants, as long as he's producing the results.
You're talking about him switching from a back three to back four?
Yes. Because, like,
yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying why did he switch back to a back three despite winning against Newcastle? But I watched that Newcastle game. I think you guys were lucky, if I'm being honest. I don't think the back four did much.
We won, we were lucky. Two, we were defensively solid.
Okay.
And we ended that game.
That's with second
a,
half.
We ended that game with a back three. He made that change. Mm. The first one was attacking. We got the goal. Then he said, lock up shop. That's what he did. Bro, like, that's what I'm saying. This year, I've seen him. People always complain. I'm like, bro, I think he still thinks that this team's. I don't know what he was thinking. Like in general, but me, how I see it is, let's learn how to lock up shop. We still considered a lot, like a lot of goals, but I don't think that's due to us locking up shop. I think it's also due to the fact that we don't have key players for his system to work, which is kind of why I'm like, if he's a good manager, he's doing decent. Like everybody always say, oh, you don't have this argument, but people like in our group setting, we are saying, oh, the league is open. So the league is open. That's why we should be doing better than the others. What are you talking about? We are not that team. We've not been that team in a long time. Like, take progress. Like, we're not saying the league is open. We are an inconsistent team. That is what it is.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't think he was fired mostly because of performances. I think he was
because
he has out now. Yeah, but that was crazy. I think he didn't believe he could. I didn't think he believed he could actually do it anymore. I think he was probably just done with it. And
yeah,
I feel like we're going to get fired.
Bro, it's such a toxic environment, bro. This nigga, I even call him and said, because Gary Neville is talking in your ear. Like, you guys are acting like bitches. Like, your Manchester United, they will always talk about you. I'm glad he did that thing. He called these niggas out because they are acting like pussy holes behind the scenes. They will just put a manager and then use the manager, because every time the hit goes on the manager, it doesn't go on the leadership ranks. Because why would they bring him in and not have a way to support him? Not have a list of priorities. They want to go and prioritize striker. And then they now not only prioritize striker, they prioritize striker that's for the future, not for now. When our midfield is leaking. Like, is that logical? Is that logical in any way?
Yeah, and it's crazy because a lot of people have very, like, a lot of positive things. There's a huge feeling of positivity when the Ineos took over initially. Well, in my opinion, I really don't see that much of a difference.
That's the thing. That's why my fans be getting excited now that Amorim is out. It's because they want change. And guess what? You're going to get change. We'll be back here next year.
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah.
Rehiring Ten Hag, getting Amorim when they didn't have the financial backing to get Amorim.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that?
I'm out of buying what's his name again? The PSG guy. I know you don't like him that much.
Bugas, bro. Come on, let's come on, just come. It's okay. We've seen enough.
The truth is that it'll take a while, especially with the league becoming more competitive this year. So it's not just about spending money.
Yes, I think
it's spending money with intention.
Like, bro, he would...
About spending money with intention. What now say about him, though? I think he should have been a little bit more adaptable, at least. Because I feel like he falls into the bracket of coaches who are overly hyper-focused on just one philosophy. That's the Ange Postecoglous, the Maslow Bielsa's. They can achieve success, but when people figure you out and figure out how to actually hurt you, I think it's what makes you a much better coach. Puts you above that realm of just being a philosophical coach is now being able to tweak, even within your philosophy, tweak into ways that can give you an edge over people who find you out. But I don't think he gets to that level yet.
I think, at least from the way I've seen him describe how he wants the players, this is just like the first phase. This is just the foundation. Like, the formation changes once you learn the rules.
Yeah.
So, like, of course, we're going to struggle the most now. But, like, if we got the players that he wanted, with the because he always says characteristics, like having a right-footed player on the left or having a left-footed player on the right, like things like that are like intricate about the kind of players he wants. They are very specific. So it's like, this man has a detailed way of getting success. Right now, many fans are complaining about how we can do better because we don't know... we've not seen any better. I'm like, okay.
He mentioned something.
What?
He mentioned something about him being, he wanted to be a manager and not a coach. But,
head coach is just, you know, they tell you what to do.
But the contract, apparently the contract he signed is a head coach. Why would he come out in the media and say that he wants to be the manager?
It was supposed to be a marketing thing and they gave him a managerial role instead, because when he came in, he had some input on the players that are being brought in. Generally, your head coach is not doing that. You don't really have any say in the transfers being brought in. Your job is to you play in the philosophy of the club. And a head coach is not bringing his own philosophy for the most part. Like, having a philosophy that the whole club from under 18, everybody will do. And that's a manager. Yeah. Like, that's what you give a manager. So
he's not a manager. But I mean, a manager is above it. What he signed,
$10 million. Bro, what he signed might have been head coach, but at the end of the day, if here and there they had a personal agreement, maybe, and that's why I feel like he aired it out. You know, maybe they had a personal agreement. Because if you look at the was making. Those are managerial moves. That's not a head coach move.
Now you're saying.
Except you don't know what you're doing.
But the vibes he gives me, I think he's a, at least, I don't want to judge too much. I don't want to judge him too much on his Man U career. At least generally, he gives me more of a coach energy in terms of he actually coaches the player's skills and everything, as opposed to being a man mind like in the ilk of Ancelotti or someone like Zidane, who's more of a manager, like he manages people and everything.
I think most of the players, I know, I think he's very very technical, but I think he also has naturally like
I heard he's charismatic, but I don't get that vibe from his manager career. I can't lie.
Likeable person. I mean, except if you're not playing. So that was understandable. But like,
I think Garnacho likes the post.
Man, I don't care about Garnacho, bro. Man, see, that was say, like, I'm happy he did like certain things, like get Garnacho out of that club. Like, bro, I don't need these little childish things, bro. Like, go and focus on your ball. I'm okay with that, bro.
To me, he definitely gave me more of a hands-on energy as opposed to just being like a manager. Someone like Guardiola, I guess, plays both parts.
Manager is just an expansion of your role as a head coach. I don't think it's how you play to the players.
No, some people take up more managerial roles opposed to coaching roles. Like you, I've heard stories like about Ancelotti, who his son actually does the coaching, while he is more of the manager.
I mean
there are some who do both sides.
That's his style. I'm saying as far as the technical, the things associated with what you can do in your job description.
Yes,
manager is just expansion of head coach.
That's true.
So when she now becomes coach, assistant coach, that be leading all these things. Yeah. So.
But anyway, who would be your first pick to replace him if it was in your hands?
And let me tell you, there are two things. One is who I would pick and who a lot of my fans think we should pick. Versus who will be actually picked. I think they're going to go for a head coach next time. I don't think they're going to go for a manager. From the way this has...
Who will be the person? So who would you pick first?
Me, if I was to pick and I was able to just pick, I'll bring maybe Xavi. I'm hearing things like that doesn't make sense. He's going to City.
How many people are going to City? Maresca is going to City. Xavi is going to City.
No. I heard Maresca is going. I didn't know. I don't know about. Well, Xavi could be going. I mean, his relationship with Pep. I mean, so maybe we're the number two team that the job is on board for. So we're probably going to go for like McKenna.
Your personal pick is Xavi, but you think the club will pick McKenna?
Yeah, or Ole, or like a manager in another club that's still trying to make a name, like one of these other leagues. You know, I think so. Because I don't think they can get a big name manager that would want to be a head coach.
So who do Man U fans think want? I mean, who do Man U fans want?
I'm hearing some stupid names. Zidane, that's not happening. Who's France manager right now?
Well, France, you mean Deschamps?
Yeah, like that's not happening.
Deschamps would be an interesting hire. Zidane is being primed to take over from France after the World Cup, so that's not going to happen. Zidane gives me vibes of someone that doesn't like stress, so I doubt.
Yeah.
So wait, would you take Maresca?
I would. I'll take Maresca. I mean, all this doesn't make sense, bro. It's just because it's poor leadership. It's because the leadership and management are not aligned. That's the same thing that happened in Man U and Chelsea, bro. Except this one.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Chelsea, they...
There's a lot of similarities.
Probably. But us, Amari said, Gabriel, give me my check. Don't blame him, though.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities that can be drawn between you can clearly see the disconnect between the manager or coach and the higher ups in both clubs. Clearly, I personally think Maresca played his cards right before he joined Chelsea. He was, I mean, not like a nobody, but kind of a nobody in the world of football. Leicester, then he cannot, at least one now you'd say, can say for Chelsea is that their structure has, and their way they move has not been hidden. You could see that with Tuchel, Pochettino, and everything. So I don't know if we blame them. I don't agree with how they run Chelsea at all. But it's been clear. Everybody knows how it is. Young. So you don't really have that much of a say. Blah blah blah. Yeah. Maresca definitely knew that. He took the job knowing that it to improve his resume.
Was
the job?
Did they manage after last season?
Didn't they what?
Oh, is he still a head coach? Did they upgrade him to manager after last season?
No, I don't know what he ended up as, but I'm saying he took that job knowing everything about how they run things. Yeah, especially all of that. And then he comes out and starts complaining about the same things he knew about.
In the Premier League, and he does get a bigger boy.
He knew everything about it, though. Yeah. And he starts complaining about the same things he knew, the same thing that Pochettino complained and Tuchel complained about, that we all know is the problem with how they run things. And then we hear about him flirting with other clubs. Eh?
Why are they running like that?
I mean, they are trying to be smart. I mean, it's a business to them. So I guess maybe buy very, very like precocious young talents and maybe hopefully they blow out for your club. If they don't ball out, you still protect their value, you sell them for bigger money. That's it.
Yeah, for real.
And give them long contracts.
In a phenomenal job.
Well, I'm just saying, I think they use each other. And he can't, because they can't, you can't tell them he's wrong, because they might not do well in the league, but they won trophy, they won conference league, and they won this, and they made top four. And then Maresca is saying, no, I want this, I want that. But with what we are doing for you, you're able to deliver those results. Why not keep doing that? You get what I'm saying? Clearly, to them, it's working.
Yeah.
So I just feel Maresca has an opportunity to get a better deal elsewhere. That's why he just did what he did.
For sure. Pep just said, half up.
And also, he was asking for more money as well. So if you really hated what was going on in Chelsea, why would you ask for a bigger contract? You know what I'm saying?
You are doing good now. You are doing as the best you can. Yeah. Come on.
So, anyway. Enough about that. But, City. City drew to Chelsea. It's much to my delight. I know I saw a kind of stuff talking about, like, if they had Palmer and so, they would have actually won. But I'm being honest, I don't think Chelsea really offered much of a threat in the game like that. That's why it's important to finish up games.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
Because
I think just,
if you just finish up games while you're ahead.
But it's hard, bro. It's like, sometimes you want to finish up. It's not as if you don't try now. It's just like, come on. But that 1-0, even 2-0, depending on the time, even at any time, really, it could be deceiving. So many times people have scored two goals back. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Haaland is having his little dip in form, kind of.
He always does. He's
not. Yeah, then after you come and score a hat trick. But to me, the biggest takeaway itself is I know they've looked better, but at the end of the day, an attacker and a defender, they both have two different mindsets. I think, what's his name again, the left back, what he did for that goal clearly shows someone that is not really a defender.
Yeah.
What's the city left back? What's his name again?
O'Reilly,
exactly. There and then, normally, a defender would know to kind of step back and not overcommit and let yourself be dribbled that easily.
Yeah.
I think he's clearly not a real defender at the end of the day. He will try his best. I know he's doing an okay job overall, but I don't think he will ever do it to the level of an actual, genuine defender whose mentality is defend. And he can work sometimes.
Yeah.
See, I know it can work sometimes, but once in a while, he will show himself. These kind of things will happen to him.
Yeah, but
his instinct is...
Maybe Pepper that he can never make it.
What did you say?
Maybe Pepper that he can never make it.
That O'Reilly can never make it. I mean, O'Reilly, they play him all the time now.
Yeah, but like up front.
Oh, okay. So you say you can never make it up front. So your future is a left back.
Yes.
<That's what> I'm I mean, or maybe they just have better players in front.
Now,
better play left back like Cunha.
But I doubt that you now get better. I mean, it's possible, sir. I'm not saying, but it's possible. If your coach,
I think it's hard.
I think
your mentality is different.
If your coach move you back from wing to back, bro, your career is done, bro. That's where you are.
It's a similar thing. Skelly in Arsenal is playing left back. He's not really a left back. Same issues. Like, they can be good, though, but you always see those things happen eventually. But maybe they are young, so maybe there's more of a chance for them to develop into actual defenders. But the one that's not going to be defender in his lifetime, he's going to play that role. Like,
they know that they can never make it in attack, so they bring them on to learn. Because, bro, you can learn how to defend. I feel like some of the things in attack is going to be hard. Like, there's a lot more, I'll say, today. You know, a lot more flair, things like that. But, like, defending is, like, structure.
I don't know, man.
Defending is structure.
I feel like because you're a defender, you're seeing differently. I normally play attack, so I'm seeing it differently. Because I feel like it's a mentality part of it, too. That is just hard to teach.
No, there's
someone like Bill will tell you the opposite now.
But the mentality part is just you just have to think more of the consequences of your actions. Do you understand? If you're attacking,
yes,
you're not really thinking of the consequences of your actions, bro. Like, the consequence is okay, you miss. Versus or more,
yeah, you have to take
about. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, once you start getting that drilled into your head, like you, I feel like you can learn. So I just think honestly, they just know like this guy is really good. He's a really good footballer, but he's not good enough to make it in the attack.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
At least at that level.
Exactly. Then he has time. He can make his mistake. Everybody will say he's young. Eventually, he will learn and he will get better and be more consistent. And you know how an attacker thinks.
Chelsea drew that game. At least much to Arsenal fans' delight. Enzo Fernandez, Mr. Passion, helped us, did us a big favor. You know, and on that day, I was a blue for sure. You know, and that specific day, that specific moment, I was a Chelsea fan. To me, I would still say it's still early because City don't look bad. And at the end of the day, they've not lost in a while. They've been either winning or drawing.
Yeah,
too.
I don't think,
performance wise, they've not been bad. So they look like even though they had injuries in their defense. So that's why I'm kind of like looking to see how that affects them because they just had injuries. They had injuries in that specific game. I think we got the Guardiola and somebody else. So I want to see how that affects them in their coming games. But we're Arsenal, Arsenal versus Bournemouth. Yeah, I watched that game despite what was happening. It was a... how do I put it? Despite the score line, I just felt we were in control for the most part, even though it ended 3-2. Like, when we considered the goal, I think what gave me the... probably the most amount of confidence. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not like... maybe we can actually believe that we can do this year. It's how when we considered the first goal through Gabriel's mistake. As opposed to... They didn't panic. They didn't start, like, rushing forward to attack. They didn't start, like... they just calmed down. And they played like it was still 0-0. And just played their ball. And we scored in the 6 minutes goal by Gabriel. They looked very composed and, like, almost unbothered, in a sense. Like, you're just part of the process. Just, you know, keep playing your ball. I'm like, okay, yeah. And even though I've kind of believed for a while that... I don't think they can be found wanting that much when it comes to mentality since Arteta took over. But at least it was there to see in real life. Like, this new crop of players, of Arsenal players, are very, very mentally strong. And also, towards the end of the game, when Bournemouth scored their goal, amazing goal, by the way, we didn't panic. We didn't start defending and inviting pressure. We still kept playing how we were playing, pushing forward. And, you know, attack is the best form of defense.
Yeah.
So, because one thing I would say is an improvement from previous times. I don't know if it was a tactic thing or a mentality thing. It was sometimes when it's like we won't go different, we kind of lock up shop and then almost invite pressure on ourselves. Sometimes we might win the ball. That's why we drew a lot of games last season. They have clearly learned from that. And this season, they try to keep the ball more in the opening half. The only time we are pegged back is if the team is actually good enough to peg us back.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's a big improvement. Declan Rice, 2 goals. Probably favorite for Arsenal Player of the Year so far. No other guy that's been playing really, really well. Much to my delight. And at least all that conversation has disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, if we draw one match now, whether he's playing or not, so I'll start hearing it again. Saka has been hustling and bustling, giving assists, nice assists. Well, Trossard, Martinelli, everybody seems to be playing well right now. All is well in the Arsenal camp. Eze is not playing, though. Kind of, I don't know how I feel about that, because that was my favorite player, my favorite signing of the window. But ever since that VAR mistake, well, they don't drop him. Been 4 games now. Do you have any thoughts on the game? What is it all about Arsenal?
That's how you're supposed to do in big teams. You can be strict with them. Like, they should know that it's an honor to play for the club. I fuck with you guys, man. And I feel like what you said about defending that 1-0 ended up with a lot of draws. That's what Amorim has been doing this season, bro. And of course, as I said, like, I would think the next level will be to get him more better players and then even try to push. But I mean, you guys I'm happy for you guys, man. I that peace of mind that the players show when they are down, bro. The last time I felt that was with Ferguson, bro. Bro, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'll watch the game. No matter when I'm down, I'll just be like, I just know we'll still win. Somehow. Yeah, that's the championship mindset today.
As for Villa won their own game. So I think it's looking like a genuine three-horse race, though. Even though, I mean, Arsenal kind of, in the last game, as Villa almost made it seem like Villa were like almost a level down, but I want people to genuinely remember that first half. They actually looked really, really good in the first half of the 4-1 victory. So I don't think they are out yet. I feel like it might have been a mentality that affected them in the sense that there was a lot of build up for that game. This is the game that VI is supposed to show that they are part of the title race. But Loki, I think they might have gotten to them, Loki, because before that they had been playing with house money without pressure, you know, those winning games, and you could see that. After that Arsenal loss, see how well they play the next game, because no more pressure. I think they'll be there, at least point-wise. They might not win it, but I think they are good enough to be there. like are in another top four. I'll but be very, very shocked if they don't make the top three, actually.
I said, what do you think if they win it? If they win it, what do you think?
If they win it, Jesus Christ, that's crazy, man. I might take a break from football. Just watch tennis for a year and come back.
Well, that'd be
super cool. That would be the craziest thing. Like, that's probably a lot of Arsenal haters' dream. I feel like if City wins it, oh yeah, Arsenal fans can say, oh yeah, they are good. They're the best coach in the world, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, of course, we lost to Guardiola. Yeah. I mean, you better lose to someone like Guardiola than, bro, if Arsenal lose the title to Emery, Jesus Christ.
Like, talk about we make right
decision
staring at you in your face. that's so crazy. I mean,
that would be insane. I mean, I doubt that will happen. I think if we lose the title, it will be to Man City. I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked. But then again, even though I don't think we are really part of that 2013 race that Leicester won. But I remember I was beating Leicester 5-1 and back home and away and they came first. So hopefully that never happens again. But anyway,
we'll go see.
I think that's all for Premier League for now. Really? I know you said you didn't watch Nigerian game. But yeah, no. Ah, my bad. I'm sorry. Even though I know Liverpool is not part of the title race. But sorry, let's talk about them. Liverpool drew 2-2. Liverpool fans, no vex. So, but Liverpool drew 2-2 to Fulham. Liverpool at this point, I think we should just give them a break. Like, they're having a season off, honestly. I know I was seeing a lot of like memes showing Slot hiding because they might sack him next. Because now they've sacked Maresca and Amorim has been sacked. Slot looks like he might be next, but I think West Ham manager might come before him. Nah, they drew 2-2, and Liverpool just the Fulham goal, the second one. I think was the second one was a belter. Van Dijk, I know it was a great goal, and I don't want to take anything away from the goal, but Van Dijk, come on, step up! Like, don't give him that much space. Like,
Van Dijk is a dancer. He just backs it up, bro. Like, that's all he does.
I don't really know what to make of it anymore at this point. But I don't know. I'm choosing to give Liverpool grace this season. I'm not trying to pile up on them because they're actually champions.
They didn't plan properly. They spent so much money in attack, and they didn't reinforce really anywhere else. I mean, they reinforced in so many places, but I feel like it's the wrong players, man. I just think they didn't recruit properly. Like, I think... Like, did they buy any centre-backs?
Yeah, I always felt they needed to have signed, like, an extra centre-back for 100%. Back up to Nathan Van Dijk.
Like,
defensively, it's terrible.
Like, you didn't... I mean, the players they got were good, but it just felt like me on FM being greedy, and I just give myself unlimited money, and I just buy all the players I want.
Buy all the attackers.
You get like what do you really need?
Yeah.
Like, let's really ask yourself that. Did you really need Isak? Could you have waited maybe a couple more years and gotten him on a free? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the situation there? Like,
do you need Isak, especially after signing Ekitike?
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that money might have been better used if you actually like spent.
You would have got like two centre backs, or a centre back, an extra midfielder, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, because now they've lost the Isak through injury. Their problem is obviously their midfield and their defense right now, and like they are left with their hands on their head. So, I mean,
Slot had so much money in his life. He said, let's ball out.
I mean, we don't know who sanctioned the signings, yeah. Maybe he'd asked for a defender and they didn't give him one. They their only grace is that they won the league last season.
Yeah.
can't really, of course, you know, bro,
see. When you win the league, you can't do any. There's nothing you can't do. You cannot say. Right, for real.
If I win the league, if I Premier League and Champions League, he might actually leave us now. I think that's possible.
Why won't he leave? Barcelona is calling his name.
I think he might take a break. I think he needs it after all the pressure, bro.
But this shit is demanding. Like, they always take. They're like, let me go. But then they start to crease and they can't stay out for too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk some AFCON. So I saw the Egypt versus Benin game. As me, I was just very impressed by how fast Egypt play. They look like, I mean, it's a typical North African team in a sense, with all the techy, nimble, speedy players. Yeah, World Cup, yes, unlike us. But I enjoyed their speed and how they play when they increase intensity. Mamouche, Zizou, Salah, all of them. Salah looks fast too. I don't know. Maybe I was talking rubbish when I called him 34-year-old man. But he looks fast, so maybe it's a position. I don't know. But Benin looks.
It's how your manager uses you.
That's true. But Benin looked very brave. They equalized after going behind before the Egypt killed them in extra time, 3-1. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was that impressed by Egypt, especially after seeing Nigeria match. Except maybe Benin is actually better than I think they are. So, they lacked a bit of, Benin lacked a bit of quality overall. You can tell the difference in quality between the two teams. But you know, when you're seeing like an underdog put a lot of effort that kind of makes up for the deficits, quality deficits. That's what that game looked like to me. So, and I feel like Egypt can play better. So, I don't know. I know Nigeria played Mozambique today. I don't know that I'm reluctant to call us the team to beat right now, especially after watching Senegal, Morocco, and in some games, Egypt. Egypt just looks like they could tear up. Like they could do something crazy if they get the chance. You get.
Yeah.
Look, and they have multiple. Yeah. So that's the worrying thing to an extent. They look like they haven't really, you know, hit that top level yet, because they have a lot of talented players. Yeah. Nigeria, speaking about hitting top gear, Nigeria looks like a team that's hit top gear. It's right today. But if I'm trying to take a balanced view and not a fan view of the game, I don't know how much I would rate Mozambique. Although they look like a team that can string passes together, but then again, that might be their weakness. Maybe they overestimate their own ability. because they try to play out of the back, you know, they try to string pass together and actually attack. They were not trying to pack the balls and just defend for their lives, but they try to actually play. But Nigeria was just so much better. Like they will do something, they'll lose the ball and they will counter them and will pass it around them and will score. It just looked like a fight between maybe someone that was a big boy in his own street, not going to Ghana fight in a place where all of them are, you know, at a higher level, like in the MMA or something like that. I was like, guy, are you sure if you want to keep doing this thing? Well, sometimes it looks good on the eye. When their keeper, they'll do something, they'll pass. I'm like, guy, okay. It was like company with Burnley, basically, when it came to the Premier League. Yeah, they were definitely outclassed. Like, this was just two different levels. And I don't even know who was the man of the match. At this point, you know when you play in the FM, you see all of 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. in the match. It will be this score, but bro, this guy turned into Pirlo. He turned into prime Pirlo. Like, his name again. Osimhen was at his best. No, when Osimhen has balled out and he now feels like he's the baddest guy. If you vex him, he will vex for you and shout at you. He got to the level where he was shouting at everybody. That's when you know he knows he's doing well. When Osimhen starts getting angry, you know he believes he's the shit. I think he got to that level today. Like, guy, calm down. He's all right. I mean, Lookman balled out. Two assists, one goal. Osimhen, two goals. What's the name again? The boy from Sevilla. Is it Ola? Ola? Let me check real quick. I cannot forget my Niger boy's name. Adams. Yeah, Adams scored as well and gave assists, two assists. Was a complete performance. Clean sheets. Defenders did their thing. I mean, right now, this is probably the best individual performance of any team, I would say, in my opinion, in this AFCON so far. This most goals too, four goals. So, and we've also scored the most goals in tournaments from what I heard in the commentator. But yeah, Nigeria all looks well with the world. It's kind of annoying to think about the fact that we're not in the World Cup, especially if we can play like this.
I don't believe what would you do in the World Cup.
I mean, judging by today's performance, but I guess we have to think about the opposition as well.
it's a good
performance.
To the place where there's now more sharks are being, except we are lucky we get a good group. But man, I don't trust Nigeria, bro. It's just gra.
We bought out today. This is the best I've seen us play in a long time. In any AFCON I've watched too. Like in a long time. I can't really remember a time where maybe 20, the one we won. As a sending back. But I don't think we didn't play this well, in my opinion. I don't remember us playing this well, but we won that one. The one last time we got to the finals, we are crap.
I'll make sure
to the finals.
I'll make sure to
watch. Yeah, now we are doing well. You should have seen the game. We actually did really well. Yeah, and that Akko Adams, it looks like a talent. He will be looking like, you know, a real midfielder. If I do say so myself. Yeah, I know he's been criticized a lot in the past, but I wonder what his critics are saying now. I guess I'm one of them, so I'll be one of them. Well, yeah, I don't know. I would say we have the best striker in Africa, for sure. I give it top four in the world, so we should definitely be among the favorites,
yeah, at least
for that alone. Yeah, we have Lookman, former African player of the year. We have two former African players of the year in our team. Like the fact that if we're not favorite, then we're not a serious country. I mean, not like are we?
Yeah.
But
I mean, two is, as long as the team is, everybody else is okay. Two African player of the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should.
Because before, there's no reason why we should be scared, terrified of any team. Yeah, I don't think there is. Like, we have the talent to go against anybody. We just need to put it in practice. But now there's a funny thing. When we play badly, I hear a lot of like criticism. No, I'm not saying it's wrong. Criticism towards the NFA and all of that and all the how bad Nigeria is as the reason why we are performing badly.
Mm.
Think about that. Now we are performing well. Has anything? Did anything change?
People go always talk life.
No, I mean it's interesting to think about. Like when we perform really well, we don't hear anything about the NFA. Oh my gosh, how corrupt they've been and all of that. Everything is quiet and we praise. Yeah, but when things go badly, like in a football match, it's possible for you to go badly. Then you hear about this. And I think whatever corrupt practice that goes on at the top should be like eliminated regardless of whether you play well or not. But it was funny to me when I hear all that crap. Not crap, all that talk when a team loses a football match. But when they win a football match, no, should we praise them? If they're gonna get the blame, they're gonna get the blame. I mean, when we lose. Shouldn't they get the praises when we win?
The only reason I would say that is because I think it's overall when something is being run inefficiently. you know who to blame. But you are also a fan. You can't come throwing blame when your team wins. But when you lose, you can. That's an opportunity to throw blame. Like, if your team won, enjoy your day, you know? Why would you come and talk nonsense? But if your team has inconsistencies, you start to think, okay, maybe it's not the manager, maybe it's not the team, maybe it's the ownership. And not, they're not building something reasonable. This is like NFL now. So, like, if Nigeria has always had enough talent for us to be consistently good.
That's true.
Like, so the fact that they had to force them to even get them to even pay the players before they came for AFCON is crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy. But that is crazy. But I don't know. Yeah, I agree. No, I agree that we should always come for them. But we should come for them when they don't do what they are supposed to do, like pay players. You get 100%. But that to me, that's regardless of whether we win or lose.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I guess I don't know how much they are to blame. Like, if Osimhen is an empty net, you get, and we don't take our chances in the match, and we play bad, and we play badly, and teams whoop us. You get what I'm saying? I don't really know, because it can happen. But of course, if I hear reports like they did not pay them, 100%, they should get flack. They should get insulted.
Sometimes you might think, okay, how are they selecting the manager? How are they choosing the manager? So I feel like in the past couple of years, we've changed managers so many times too.
Of course. But for the thing to change.
Country-wise, the successful regimes, you see the managers will be at least 2 World Cups. Nigga, that's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know.
I mean, we are performing badly. Easiest thing to change is the manager. That's the easiest thing to change anyway, in any part of football. But anyway, I feel like we've covered most of the topics I wanted to cover today, Nandi. It's been a nice conversation. Do you have any hot takes?
I hope we get Ole. Because I just saw Fabrizio does post coming to be an interim. No, if an interim. I can see him last of the season.
What? So you have nothing, I guess you have no any grievance towards Ole from the past time when he was managing?
I think he was out of his depth. But they also, the board did the same stupid shit. They didn't back him. So it's like, you can't be. And then I also don't think like our board are like sports geniuses. So why would I even trust you in setting the tone for the club? Well, I don't know. Well, I like Ole.
In my opinion, the last time I saw Man U look like play fluid attacking football, like at least for a period of time, was actually under Ole.
Yeah.
Just before they signed Ronaldo.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. That's what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's things like that. It's like, why? You know, like, do you even know where you are trying to take the team to? Like, it's was on your whole total trajectory. You want to go and get Ronaldo. He's a great player, but
yeah, with Greenwood, Rashford, all of that, like they looked a threat going forward,
bro.
Anyway, Nnamdi, it's been nice chat. Hopefully, Ole gets on the wheel like you wish. I will see how that goes. But guys, make sure you keep listening, keep watching. And subscribe, tell your friends, share it with them, and turn on your notifications and tell them to turn on theirs as well. All right, guys. Peace.